NewsForce247.com.
And a very good Thursday afternoon. See, I almost said Tuesday. How about that? The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Turn time about 14 minutes after the hour of 2. Not Tuesday, it's Thursday. Adam here in the studio at my regularly, that's hard to say, scheduled time for the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Here on the air till 3 o'clock, talking about topics of your choice, including technology, politics, music, the weather, and the good old everything else. Kai Mead will be with us for the next 16 minutes or so, a local city council person with a few topics up my sleeve. Taking your telephone calls, if you want to ask Kai a question, this is the time. 740-383-9944. So did you enjoy the first hour of your radio experience, Kai? I know when you're on the air with me, you're never quite sure what to expect.
Oh, I loved it. I think it's always a good conversation.
We might just ditch the political talk and do karaoke instead. So you never quite know. We might start singing songs here, but... you know, if that's what radio is all about. We covered, again, your experience, just viewpoints that DR or I, your party affiliation, is not really relevant. We're all members of the community. We live, work, play, pass through here. And we're all, first and foremost, we're Americans that are living in the greatest country in the world. And that the many services that we have in this city, police, fire, ambulance, streets, trash and recycling, everybody I know wants those services to be excellent, and they are. And also, we applaud our great sheriff and police chief, both fairly new on the job and getting an A-plus in my book and in your book. We talked about your fellow members of city council. So multiple topics that we touched on, and we're going to go continue with some of that conversation. And don't be shy, I'm doing a live video. You can watch me and leave a question on my live video feed or give me a call, 740-383-9944. Of course, we've talked many times, Kai, about the Judge Warner and Mrs. Warner issue. But from a city government and law enforcement perspective, he was one of two judges in Marion, and his seat needs to be filled. And during the break, you were kind of telling me how that would occur, because it's a bit of a complicated process. We need to have two judges. Who is taking his cases currently, and how will his seat be filled so that we do return to having two permanent judges, yeah. Permanent subject to the next election, of course, in Marion?
I believe for the county judge job, the Marion Republican Party will interview candidates for it. They'll interview candidates for it, and they will, make the decision based off of a vote by their central committee. A central committee is essentially a body of representatives from each precinct in the whole county, and they vote on who they think will do the best job. He was kind of like the Republican nominee beforehand, and so now they are picking the replacement for him, and then him or her, and whoever it is, will be up for election again, I think, in 2024.
Now, we're not sure who the people are, who the favorite candidates are. We do have magistrates who would be a sort of an obvious choice, as a magistrate's kind of like an assistant judge, and we have people that have been attorneys for a long time who are qualified. But I guess it'd just be fun to find out who the replacement will be.
Yeah.
And we know it'll be an excellent, qualified man or woman.
My guess is that, you have two, you kind of have two arguments. Do you take the magistrate, who clearly has the experience doing very similar work, or do you take, three different. Do you take the magistrate, do you take maybe an attorney who just has a lot of experience in general, or do you maybe take someone that has less experience but is more... loyal to the party line. I'm not saying, I don't know which one they'll choose, but to me that's the kind of the decision that they will end up making. But again, we don't know who it'll end up being. There's plenty of lawyers for them, magistrates, and just people in general to choose from.
Now, with a judge, as we discussed, to me, political party is completely irrelevant, as this person follows the Constitution and follows what the law says. whether or not the person agrees with you or I on abortion, same-sex marriage, guns, legalization of marijuana, all the usual Democrat versus Republican issues, is not relevant. We want someone to follow the letter of the law. And I would say hats off to our controversial former president, Mr. Trump. He did nominate two very conservative judges to the Supreme Court, but we found out that Judge Barrett and Judge Kavanaugh, that they have followed the letter of the law in making decisions and surprised even very left-leaning people that they are making decisions as Americans and what they feel personally has not really influenced. And that goes both ways, as there are judges that might be thought of as too liberal. Ms. Sotomayor, for example, a fairly liberal. But again, she knows that her job is first and foremost to be an American, and that may not be consistent with her beliefs when she hands down a decision, but it's for the best of the people, and that we're on the same team, and that applies here too.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, what judges have to look at is the constitutionality of these issues, and then what has the legislature passed, and then you're kind of squaring it to say, like, is what the legislature has passed, is it constitutional? And then trying to understand the interpretation of the legislature on some issues, and that, it really just depends on what kind of judge you're dealing with at the time. But you really do have to keep your personal opinions in your pocket, just because you're trying to give the best outcome for everyone. You're trying to give you're trying to do what's best for your community. You're not trying to score political points. You're not supposed to be trying to get your political beliefs further down the road. You're just trying to get the best outcome. You're supposed to be impartial.
Adam here on The Talking Place with my in-studio guest, Mr. Kai Mead, a Marion City Council member. Taking your call, 740-383-WWGH, and broadcasting a live video on my Facebook page. Last hour, Kai, we agreed that whether there's a D, R, or I, or another letter after your name as a city councilman isn't important. You love where you live. You love our citizens and want this to be the best city anywhere. And I believe that you and the others are working toward that goal. And as a judge, your Republican, Democrat, Independent is even less important. So maybe we have a little too much divisiveness here, and we want to work together. As Americans, we're all on the same team.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you're not working towards the betterment for all the people, regardless of your political affiliation, your race, your gender, then you're not doing your job correctly. You have to treat everyone the same, and you have to give, and work for everyone the same.
Now, we mentioned that you are up for re-election, as are other council members, in less than 4 months at the November election. That's probably the most major election coming up then in November.
Yes.
The mayor, sheriff, etc., that's not coming up this year. The governor, even though it seems like it's this November, it's actually next year because that is already becoming a fairly ugly race, but I guess that's part of the fun of politics. So there are some township races, but the main one is city council.
Yep, city council will be at the top of the ticket. It'll start at the top. You'll see council president, which is Todd Schneider. He does not have an opponent. Then you'll go to at-larges, and then council. And then depending on what ward you're in, that will be there as well. And then it'll get into like the township trustees and things of that nature.
And correct me if I'm wrong. There is no, you vote for the D or the R. It is a nonpartisan election, right? There was no primary, right?
No, there was no primary, but when you go to vote, there will be a D or an R next to their name if they do affiliate with that party.
But can a D run against a D? Is it a case where we have to have one of each party, or you just vote against somebody regardless of the party? The party is just kind of an afterthought.
If, say, like in a ward race, you could have a primary, but that election would have been at the beginning of May. Here, you're just going to see a D versus an I, or a D versus an R, or an R versus an I, for the most part. At larges is a little different. You'll see multiple D's, multiple R's, and then you're just picking. Each voter picks two, and then the top three vote getters are then elected.
So, although I sound a little confused, it is a bit confusing. It is a little unusual.
Yep, absolutely.
But again, we encourage people get out and vote. It's to me a duty as an American, and vote for the person you think will do the best job. And look at the candidate what he or she has done if this person's an incumbent and what this person will do if elected, rather than whether there's a D or an R next to his or her name. And let's make Marion great. Every day is progress.
Oh, yeah. And you got to take it one day at a time. And, you know, hopefully when we look back at it, we'll be proud of everything that we've done.
That's the way to do it. Now, got about 5 or 6 minutes left with Kai Mead today. Still taking your phone call, 740-383-WWGH. The cleanup, which you've been involved in, keeping Marion trash-free. And it's a beautiful city. Make it beautifuler, if that's a word. But if not, well, you know, Donald Trump makes up words. I'll make up words, too. So make Marion beautifuler. Make it a place people are proud to call home, proud to be a workplace. And even if you are not from here, driving through it, you say, this is a cool little city.
Yep.
And that's my thoughts whenever I drive around Marion. I always find things I didn't know existed before.
Yep. When I first got elected, the big thing that I wanted to do was to show voters what it looked like when an elected official was actually actively working in their community. And so that's what we did. We did 2 community cleanups in the first ward, and they were so successful, we've now sent them out outside of the first ward, and I try to help on those as much as I can. We've gone to the west side. We've gone into the second ward. I think we've gone into the fifth ward. I mean, we're going all over the city with these cleanups, and we've grown and grown, and we're taking out, I think we've probably taken out hundreds on hundreds and hundreds of tons of trash. In the first ward alone, I think we took almost 100 tons of trash out. And so we are just, I think that it's important that we show them what active government looks like and what active elected officials can do.
100 tons, that's 200,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of trash.
Yep, and then we had hundreds and hundreds of tires. We're boarding up those abandoned houses. We're referring to them to the land bank to eventually get torn down. I just think that, you know, we can do a lot if we're willing to roll up our sleeves. And that's the type of people that we need to elect, is people that are willing to say that, you know, this is some hard work, but, you know, it just needs to get done.
So you don't mind getting your hands dirty?
No.
And participating?
Nope. As long as we're helping out the community, as long as I'm helping out my neighbor, figuratively, then I think that it's well worth it.
Well, that's good to hear. So, again, we encourage people to consider community involvement when deciding whom to vote for in an election, regardless of where people may reside. We talked about the small business appreciation, that's done quite a bit for the community, and again, the cleanup. I guess one issue, and this comes up this time of the year, you know, grass grows like a weed sometimes, even though we're entering a dormant stage. I know I was looking this up. You have to mow your grass to 12 inches or less, and that's pretty lenient. As Akron is 8 inches, Columbus, I believe, is 10. 12 inches is pretty high, and a lot of it's the weeds because they grow like weeds. Is that a problem, Kai? I drive around, and I certainly see a few lawns that haven't seen a lawnmower in quite a while. And in your neighborhood, do you take it upon yourself to be proactive and call a code enforcement if you see a neighbor whose lawn is half as tall as you are, or what, and to our listeners who see that, because we see that posted on Facebook.
Yeah, if it's
what should one do if we notice a neighbor's lawn is again half as tall as they are?
If it's, I will say something if it's half as tall as I am. One thing to look for always is, anytime you're involved with government, there's a process to everything. So one thing you might see is a pink letter or just a letter taped to the door of the house that has that super tall grass. That means they're in the process, but they can't. That, you know, there's a warning that's involved the first time. There's fines that can even go out if they're continuously non-compliant. And so if you see that, then it's being taken care of, but government can sometimes be notoriously slow about things. But if you do see a property that you think that the grass is, you know, ridiculously tall, you can contact our sanitarian. Her name is Sydney Thrapp, or try to get in touch with our code enforcement officer, which is Casey Thomas. They handle a lot of that. I always will shoot them an address really quick if there's grass that's, you know, ridiculously tall. You know, I think that at whether it's grass, whether it's cleanups or anything like that, it's just about being active in the community and just being out there and really, you know, being willing to put in the effort to you know, keep the neighborhoods looking nice and keep Marion as a great place to live and to start a young family.
It's important to be proud of where you live and you start in your own backyard. Do you think we have a problem with unkempt lawns here? You mentioned boarding up houses, et cetera. Is that an issue that we do need to address? Does it come up during council meetings? Is that something, I mean, if I were to be a spot on the wall during the council meeting and you were talking about your neighborhoods, because you're all from different neighborhoods and they're all, Marion's rather diverse.
Yeah.
Does that come up?
I guess I'll leave you with this. I guess this policy breaking news. So the city of Marion will get about maybe $3.2 million in federal dollars spread out over 2 years from the American Rescue Plan Act. I think that we need to spend at least $500,000 tearing down these blighted homes and tearing down fire damaged structures so that we can continue to build. To build a better Marion. We can, you know, these cleanups are great. They're a great way to, you know, make streets nicer and things like that. But we also have to, you know, look at this from a multi-pronged approach. And I think the way we do that is tear down more of these blighted homes and fire damaged structures, the community cleanups, and then maybe instituting some neighborhood watches where we can. An active community is a good community.
I would agree. So bottom line is, my fellow homeowners, mow your grass. Make your property provide the impression that you're proud of where you live.
And don't be afraid to reach out to me, because I, as well as other council members, you know, sometimes there's one that we miss or something like that, and I am happy to take any call, any email, any text message about any issue. Actually, my preferred thing is someone just says, hey, I've got an issue, come out here and see it, and I just swing by the house, and we talk about it for a little bit, and I, you know, take maybe to, if it's, say, tall grass, I take some pictures of it, and then I send it on over. I think that, you know, that's a council person's job, and so we just have to do it, you know, the best job we can at communicating with our constituents.
That sounds like a good way to end this interview with Kai Mead, again, a member of Marion City Council. Thank you very much, Kai, for coming on the show. I certainly learned something. It's important that we know what our elected officials do. Not just in the public eye, but behind the scenes. And again, my fellow homeowners, be proud of where you live. Make your grass look nice. Make your house shine in the neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's just so important that we're all on the same team, regardless of whether or not we're a Democrat, Republican, young, old, male, female. We're proud of where we live and where we work. And just that feeling, that the warmth that you feel when people are proud of where they live and take care of it, There's just no way to quantify it, because it just is so important. Thanks again, Kai. We'll have you on again soon. Always a good guest. And we appreciate Kai taking time out of his schedule on this Thursday afternoon to visit our radio studios here on Prospect Street in Marion. Adam here on The Talking Place. We have about 27 minutes left of the show today. And we can talk about politics, about the weather, about music, or the topic that we normally address during this broadcast, which is technology. So, is your monitor only monitoring your headaches? Is your server not serving anything other than gibberish? Is your printer not printing? And is your network not working? Last but not least, do you want to take your Windows computer and throw it out the window? Well, if that is the case, boys and girls, you've come to the right place. You won't even have to take your credit card and slide it through your phone. We actually provide free technical support during this program, so feel free to give me a call and let me know what your question is about technology, and I'll be happy to answer it for you. Or if you want to ask my opinion about something, we have Windows 11 coming out, so a lot of important technology news on the horizon. The number is 740-383-WWGH, and you can also watch me in a live video on my Facebook under Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. In technology news, thousands of hacker attacks were launched on a network of smart home devices designed by researchers to assess the risk the gadgets pose to consumers. During the initial week, this so-called honeypot network was online. 1,017 unique scans or hacking attempts were directed at the devices on the net, which included smart TVs, printers, wireless security cameras, and Wi-Fi kettles, according to researchers. the attacks continued to grow, reaching almost 13,000 during a subsequent week, with 2,400 of those attempts to log into a device with a weak default username and password. Most of the devices in the hackable home environment were able to prevent attacks through basic security precautions, although this doesn't mean that they'll never be at risk. The most concerning issue, the researchers found, was a connected camera which had a weak default password, which allowed a suspected hacker to gain access on the to the camera stream. However, the camera lens was taped over. Most of the attacks are automated, observed Matt Lewis, an analyst with a cybersecurity company in the UK. He said they don't know what they're targeting. They just know how to access a service and try some common username and password pairings. The one that stood out to us was username admin and password admin, which is a common configuration for a lot of devices. So if you have a router or a smart device with a login, and I tell my clients this all the time, change the default login and password. Admin with a login, password as a password, or 1234 as a password, are very common. So change it, even if you want to use your dog's name or something simple, because a hacker is going to try a default login, and if it doesn't work, they will go ahead and try to hack somewhere else. Brad Russell is a vice president at Interpret, a global advisory company. He explained that device data in the smart home space is much different than personal identifying information. He said it's a lot harder for people to worry about a piece of data from their thermostat, water sensor, or garage door opener. And there hasn't been a lot of incentive for hackers to access smart home data. Their energies are better spent installing ransomware and stealing really valuable data like credit card numbers and social security numbers. Nevertheless, that does not mean that smart home devices can't be leveraged to do harm to their owners. A smart thermostat that's hacked might provide a gateway to the home network and then access to personal computers and digital files. And that comes from someone that I've quoted before, whom I believe is very smart. His name is Adam Wright. Of course, I like his first name, and his last name is Wright, so I'm sure he's right. He is a senior research analyst for smart homes at IDC. So anyway, he said a smart camera or baby monitor that is hacked can facilitate the same malicious activity as the thermostat. But in addition, the camera itself can be used to spy on people, or the camera can be used to communicate or harass people in the home. Any device that is connected to the internet that is compromised can be used as a jump point to other devices. That comes from Tom Brennan, chairman of Crest USA. That's not the toothpaste company. They are a global nonprofit cybersecurity accreditation and certification body. He said it can also be used as an exfiltration point to get out sound, as well as video and data, out of a home. Ila Satrakov is a security strategist and VP of user experience at Netrix, a visibility and governance platform maker in California. He noted that several types of hackers are attracted to smart home devices, and that's your Wi-Fi thermostats, your Wi-Fi light bulbs, your Wi-Fi garage door opener, your Alexa, your Google Nest, all that fun stuff. He said the most benign attacks are geeky kids learning technology by breaking it. They would not look for financial gain. They are pranksters that enjoy waking somebody by turning on their smart light bulbs in the middle of the night. So you might think your house is haunted, but actually it's some smart aleck kid breaking into your smart home device, so to speak, and turning a light bulb on or off. That would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Again, it's benign, but spooky nonetheless. They are not completely harmless, though, and can cause damage or money loss if they decide to play with devices connected to your digital marketplace accounts. Like it could tell your device to order something from Amazon and have it delivered to their home. You know, Alexa, order 10 large pizzas to this address. Well, it could do something like that. So again, be sure your smart home devices are properly secured. Another type of attacker can be compared to a prowler, checking on unlocked doors in a neighborhood. In a drive-by compromise, for example, they are looking for financial gains and will exploit what they can. Probably the most abominable attackers are child abusers and pedophiles, hijacking cameras and internet-connected toys. Finally, for a very high few profile targets, smart devices can be just one of the attacked vectors that allow adversaries to collect intelligence and break into their lives. Smart home devices are attacked by hackers in many cases because the attacks are easy to do. That comes from, again, Adam Wright, the person with a very good last name. He said many devices are still being shipped from the factory with inadequate security precautions in place, such as security codes to access the device being 1234 or 0000. Adam Wright noted that security is important to smart home device buyers. For example, he noted a study from his organization, IDC, from last year that found 71% of smart home users were at least somewhat concerned about device and data security. He added that leading security concerns of the survey's respondents focused on unauthorized control of devices, as well as identity theft and conversations being recorded. Fewer consumers were concerned about purchase habits being discovered. For consumers who want to protect their smart home devices from hackers, here are some tips. When you get a new device, again, like a garage door opener that has Wi-Fi, a light bulb where you can say, turn the light bulb off, dim the light bulb, make it a red color, for example, or a smart lock where you can lock your door, unlock your door with Wi-Fi, a smart thermostat where you can just talk to it and say, turn the air conditioner off, all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm referring to. These are some security tips from the experts. So when you get a new smart device, always change the default password or set the password if it's not protected out of the box. Because again, if there is a default password, it's probably 1234 or 0000 or something else very simple. Check other security settings and consider tightening them. These will depend upon the type of device. They include options like turn off the microphone on a voice assistant when you don't use it, disable access to your address lists, set additional protection for online purchases, and turn on additional confirmation or notifications. Make sure to enable the setting to download and install security patches if the device manufacturer provides them. Unpatched vulnerabilities can provide hackers the quickest way to get into your system. Consider segmenting your home network so that somebody hacking the smart refrigerator and light bulbs cannot jump over to your PC and gain access to your personal or work IT systems. So bottom line is, if you have a smart device in your home, a light bulb, thermostat, dehumidifier, garage door opener, refrigerator, go beyond the usual levels of common sense to make sure that it's secure. Make sure it's properly password protected, and if it does come with a default password, change it, because the hackers will already guess a default password of admin or 0000 or password or 1234 or what have you. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 frequency modulation on your FM dial, as well as broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet on our website and on TuneIn at WWGH 1071.com. taking your telephone calls, questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, what have you, 740-383-9944. You may have heard that last month, Microsoft unveiled Windows 11 as a redesigned computing platform that feels familiar but has many changed components. It offers new ways for users to create, learn, play, and connect with others globally. Feeling familiar may take some adjusting. However, Windows 11 is built around a simplified user experience, an interface for productivity, creativity, and ease of use. The new design entails a smaller centered taskbar and a new approach to task switching. Other new features include a transparent sliding widgets panel. That sounds kind of fun. A transparent sliding widgets panel that does not interfere with your desktop layout. An enhanced focus on gaming and overall system performance. Windows 11 also comes with a completely rebuilt Microsoft Store. The new Microsoft Store will give software developers a new openness to innovation and product development. It allows for more technical options to bring innovations to Windows 11 offerings. Perhaps the biggest change in as an effort to surpass mixed software ecosystems, like the Chrome operating system, achieves with Linux and Android applications. Now, Windows 10 already has a Linux subsystem that allows developers and advanced Linux users to run Linux applications within the Windows operating system. That's kind of fancy. Now, Windows 11 will let users bring their favorite Android tools to the new operating system. That'll happen via the Amazon App Store, noted Panos Panay, who is Microsoft's chief product officer, during the Windows 11 introduction on June 24th. The Windows upgrade comes as an intersection of hardware and software with voice, touch, and pen functionality, powered by an open hardware ecosystem. Overall, Windows 11 counts as a major release, which is why the name has been iterated, according to Rob Enderle from the Enderle Group. He said the platform security has been significantly improved. The user interface has been changed. The store changed. Interfaces improved with voice getting a massive improvement. And performance has been changed dramatically, lowering boot times and improving application performance. What makes this upgrade interesting is the focus appears solidly on improving productivity and provides a more potent counter-argument to Apple. It assures that developers keep more of their money and bridges to the Android store. Plus, it does not mine users or developers for money. Well, that's always good, not asking for money. This version of Windows appears to more aggressively address the problems highlighted by the Windows S and Vista failures than Windows 10 did. And Windows 10S is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. It's where basically you can't install anything that's not an official Microsoft app. It is one of the biggest pieces of junk I've ever seen. And it's impossible for me to help anybody over the phone troubleshoot Windows 10S until I walk them through how to turn the computer into regular Windows. So Vista had its problems, but at least it had a nice interface. Windows 10S, well, it stands for a word I can't say on the radio, but let's just say it also stands for stupid, and we'll leave it at that. Anyway, Windows 11 has much fewer changes for change's sake and more targeted changes focused on long-term pain points and needs. Now, they include better hardware-based security, voice-to-text that includes punctuation, addressing annoying performance issues with past versions, and keeping screen format intact when docking and undocking. The speech-to-text aspect is fascinating, according to Rob Enderle, an expert in this kind of stuff, and begins a blend of Windows with the cloud, as it has a cloud-based artificial intelligence capability to address punctuation and format automatically. Now, with Windows 11, Microsoft seems to be coming to terms with its place in the modern computing world. For example, the integrated support for Android apps is probably the clearest sign of that, according to Charles King, a principal analyst at Pund IT, who is another computer guru, somebody with more brain cells than yours truly. He said that move also helps more clearly differentiate the company and Android phone and tablet vendors from Apple. You could argue that the gaming-focused features follow a similar path. The point is to make using Windows PCs as fully, seamlessly, and pleasantly functional as possible for users and partners. Android app support could be a game changer for Microsoft and Windows users, according to, again, this expert, Charles King. Windows 11 will include new features and functions designed to measurably improve gaming performance and experience. The low monthly price and seamless access across all devices is a win-win deal for Windows 10 users. Microsoft's new operating system will play circles around Windows 10 game performances. Playing games on Windows 11 will provide performance similarities to an Xbox. With Xbox Game Pass for PC or Ultimate, gamers get access to over 100 high-quality PC games with new games added all the time. Sounds like if you get Windows 11, you'll be spending a lot of time playing games and maybe not as much time working. We'll see. These three elements advance the game-playing experience on Windows 11. The performance boost results from superior graphics support with Auto HDR, direct storage on optimized hardware and driver support, and over 1,000 compatible games that support HDR. That's according to Sarah Bond, Corporate Vice President for Gaming Partnerships and Business Development at Microsoft. Teams application integration directly is a major focus on connecting with work, family, and friends. System updates should prove less troublesome as packet downloads will be 40% smaller and will take place in the background. New screen snapping layouts will let users pick what suits their machine and workflow. New taskbar functionality will let users keep apps they were using before task interruptions docked in groups to make it easier than ever to get back to the desktop layout. And that comes from Carmen Zlatev, Partner Director of Windows User Experience at Microsoft. Redesigned virtual desktops will let users configure individual layouts and applications. That'll make it easy to stay better organized based on tasks and activities. Perhaps the most uncompromising change with adapting an upgrade to Windows 11 is the freedom of choice. Microsoft will not force upgrades. That's been a problem with Windows 10 where it just decides out of the blue to do an upgrade or adjustment, and you wake up and your computer becomes a paperweight. Well, they're aware of that problem, and they do claim to be addressing it. But again, seeing is believing. Windows users will decide to upgrade, and when they do that, it will be for free. But again, seeing is believing, because what they promised with Windows 10 and what you got were not necessarily the same thing. Windows 11 will reportedly be a free upgrade, much as Windows 10 was for Windows 7 and Windows 8. The main requirement will be system compatibility, but that is relatively modest. Minimum system requirements to run Windows 11 is a 64-bit CPU, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage. And most computers running Windows 10 have that and much more. You can stay on Windows 10 if you wish. Because of the security upgrade, many PCs will not be able to upgrade. But Microsoft promised continued support for Windows 10 for those who cannot or do not want to upgrade. Currently, Windows 10 support ends in 2025, but these dates have moved out in the past. Microsoft emphasized that Windows 11 will feel familiar to its customers, but the new operating system will be somewhat different visually, with a simplified taskbar and start menu. Adoption depends on how quickly the new features and functions become publicly available, as well as how well they work and how successfully Microsoft gets the news out. How attracted users will be to adopting Windows 11 is hard to tell before the marketing campaign takes off. Windows 11 will not be released until this fall, but the experts expect Microsoft to begin marketing it before that. So, if you're a Windows 10 user, as I am, are you going to upgrade to Windows 11? Well, that will certainly be a good topic for future radio broadcasts. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between 2:13 and 3 to talk today's top and trendy technology topics. Take your telephone calls at 740-383-WWGH. And we can also talk about politics or the weather or whatever else you feel would be an interesting thing to utter from your lips. I'm also on Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 following the Scott Spears Interviewer to the Stars radio broadcast with a show that I call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. We have a special station event coming up a little later today. We'll just keep you in suspense because even I don't have the exact details, but anything that happens at this radio station, you know, is going to be fun with requisite humor and lots of surprises. There will be a garage sale this Saturday from 8 until whenever, 8 a.m. until whenever they decide to stop doing it. It'll take place at 651 Harding Road. Senior citizens are downsizing after collecting 45 years of stuff. And that's a lot of stuff. Articles, beautiful Christmas decorations, tools, fishing gear, household items, and much, much more. This Saturday, 8 until whenever they decide to conclude the event, 651 Harding Road. And if you're like me and you enjoy a bargain and enjoy looking at other people's stuff, that would definitely be a good event to attend. Also remind you that James Anderson, our official station naturalist, joins Glenn Coble on the air in 3 weeks, Thursday the 29th from 10:13 a.m. until noon, discussing all the flora and fauna in and around the Marion area, events at the Tallgrass Trail, and much, much more. Definitely radio worth listening to. Coming up also this Saturday, the 10th of July, the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, has a free produce market, 582 Lee Street, from noon to 2, on the second Saturday of the month, and that would include this Saturday, July 10th, free fresh food to local individuals and families in need, no appointment, pre-registration, or paperwork required. You will simply be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide name and number of people in your family. You must be income eligible. Again, 582 Lee Street, noon to 2, this Saturday. Mid-Ohio Food Bank in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries. Tomorrow is Friday. Nice short week this week. Scott Spears is on from 8 a.m. until 1 with various programs, 8 a.m. to noon, the Scott Spears morning radio program. And then between 10 and 11, it continues with a show that I call Scott and or Glenn at 10. And we have Pastor Steve Whitaker with the Pastor's Spot, co-hosted by Scott, between about 11:13 a.m. and noon. And Scott is back with the Exchange Club until 1 p.m. Excellent programming for you tomorrow and every Friday here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. As I mentioned, we do have a private email server, just like Melania and Hillary. You can send me an email, ask me a question, again, comment, suggestion, complaint, or just email me to say, hi, Adam, how you doing? That's fine, too. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Your emails are always appreciated. You can go to our website to listen to almost every program that's been broadcast on the station for the last 5.5 years. WWGH1071.com. Adam Lepp saying thank you for listening. Have a great Thursday.